Svarno Parshas Va'ira. So the Parsha begins with Hashem telling Moshe to tell to Klal Yisrael the Ani Hashem, which the Svarno understands to mean a name of Hashem that refers specifically that Hashem gives mitzias to things, not just that Hashem created the world, that Hashem continues to create the world, and therefore He controls all of existence. And also that He had a promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that so Hashem can save them because He controls the world, and He has a promise to their fathers, Hamikimosi Esprisi, and Gamani Shamati. Also, I heard the tefillas of Klal Yisrael. So those three reasons are reasons why Hashem will save them. Therefore, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Vav, Lachein Emor Livnei Yisrael, that I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim. And it says, Hotzeisi Vitzalti Vigalti Lekachti. So the way the Sfarno explains that is, Hotzeisi means I'm going to, the Shibud is going to stop, they're going to stop being slaves. As soon as the Makos start, they stop being slaves. That's what the Sfarno says. Ben Vitzalti refers to that they'll actually leave Mitzrayim. They'll leave Ramses, they'll get out of the physical land. Vigalti means they'll be totally free because all the Mitzrayim are going to die. And they're all going to drown in the sea, and then they'll be fully free. V'lakachti means that I will, v'lakachti eschem li'lam, that means in Har Sinai you'll become avodim to Hashem. Okay, and then you should be datem, you should think about this, and then Hashem will bring you to Eretz Yisrael, you'll be His nation. But the pasuk says, v'lo shamu, listen to this is important, v'lo shamu ha-Moshe, they didn't listen to Moshe. Listen to what he says. That's because of Kotzeruch Ba'avod Akasha, but listen to what happens, because they didn't listen to him. They didn't, Lo Shama Moshe, Sfarno says, a huge onesh. They didn't listen to Moshe to be misbonin, that Hashem would save them. Rather, they did not. And therefore, Lo Neskayim Behem Nasati Osa Lachem, in other words, the Pasuk said, if you think about this, that I'm going to save you, and I'll give you Eretz Yisrael, because they didn't think about it, he didn't give them Eretz Yisrael. Aval Nasan Lebneim, he ended up giving to their sons. Now, okay, we all know that the Bnei Israel lost, the ones who left Egypt, lost the rights to get Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet HaMeraglim. But like with everything, I think we've said many times, there's a lot of stuff that goes into anything. It's not always just one act. There's a lot of cheshbonah. So this was another thing, according to the Sfarno, that when Hashem promised them that they'd leave, they'd go into Eretz Yisrael, they weren't misboning in it, they didn't consider it, it sounds like they didn't believe it, or they didn't internalize it, maybe that's a good way of saying it. So therefore they didn't get it, and it went to their sons. And why? It's mikotze ruach me'avod akasha. Under normal circumstances, of course, they would have understood from what Moshe was saying that they should have believed it would come true. But it was kotze ruach me'avod akasha, which is, they were working too hard. It was too hard for them to inculcate it. And therefore, they lost the ability themselves to have Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now skipping ahead to Perek Zayin Pasuk Dalad. It says, Hashem's telling Moshe to go to Paro. V'layishma aleichem Paro. Paro's not, I'm sorry, back up before. The beginning of Perek Zayin. It says, and Reina Satich Elohim LaParo. And Pasuk Beis, you're going to speak in Aaron. Vani Akshas Leif Paro, Pasuk Gimel says, I will harden Paro's heart for your base. Yes, Oso Sayyid, Esmov Sayyid, Beretz Mitzrayim. I'll make a lot of Oso Samovsim, miraculous Makos, right? Not just a Stam miracle, they're Makos. Then Pasuk Dalet says, Vlo Yishma Lechem Paro, Paro's not going to listen. Vnasati is Yadibi Mitzrayim, Beotesi is Tivo Sayyid, Esamir Bnei Yisrael, Meretz Mitzrayim, Beshvatim Gedolim. The Shvatim Gedolim is punishment to Mitzrayim. They'll be destroyed and beat up and, so the Sfarno explains, right, we have first the pasuk before it says, Hashem's going to harden Paro's heart, make lots of osos and mofsim, and Paro's not going to listen to you, and then I'm going to do shvatim gedolim. So the way the Sfarno explains that is, like you said in the previous parsha, only makas b'choros, and eventually them drowning at the Yamsuf was an actual punishment. The other nine makos were just osos umofsim. They were just to be marbe kvod shamayim, to show the world that Hashem runs the world. And also, the way the Sfarno explains it is they were to bring the mitzvim to do tshuva, which failed. And when they never did tshuva, maka number 10, they were done. They were getting punished. But the other nine makos were to help them do tshuva. So it was, of course, both. It was the harbos osos sayin, and also to that the all A that the world should see, and B that the Mitzrayim should do tshuva. And when they don't listen to me, that's even before Hashem hardened Paro's heart. Paro didn't listen to him, and the Mitzrayim never listened to him. So they never did tshuva, and therefore it was after all that Hashem did the Shvatim Gedolim, which is the Makas Becharos and the drowning at Yamsuf. Okay, then it continues to say that Paro will say, Tnu Lachem Mofes, show us a Mofes. Now, if you remember, when Hashem sent Moshe to go to Egypt, and he was talking about the simanim that Moshe should do in front of Klal Yisrael, he called it an os. Right? We keep talking about osos and mosim, but in this context, when Hashem sent Moshe, remember he stuck his hand inside his breast pocket and it came out as a mitzras kasheleg, and the stick that turned into a snake. So that was supposed to be an os, it says. That's what he was supposed to show Klal Yisrael. Here we have that Paro in our parsha, it says Paro will ask for you for an os, for a mofes rather. So what's the difference between an os and a mofes? So as far as I'll explain, a mofes is to tell you something good about the mishaleach, the guy sending you. An os is to tell you something about the shliach. So Paro is going to ask for an os, for a mofes rather, because he doesn't know who Hashem is. Klal Yisrael will ask for an os because they know who Hashem is, they know Hashem's greatness, they need to see something that shows that Moshe is somebody. Anyway, so he throws the staff on the floor, and the Sfarno explains that Moshe's staff actually turned into a snake. The magicians, theirs just looked like a snake that didn't have any actual life to it, because magicians can't give life. It just looked like a snake. And when Moshe did the Makos, like by Makas Dam, it says, V'l'shasli bo gam lazos, Paro wasn't paying attention that the Chartumim, yeah, they could turn the Yor into something that looked like blood, but it wasn't actually blood. Moshe made it actually blood, and that was a big difference that Paro wasn't paying attention to. Okay, now when it comes to Makas Tzvardeya, it seems that the Sfarno understood that Tzvardeyas are not frogs, they're crocodiles, which still exists today, right? There's the famous Nile crocodile, and they're not nice. Like, if you go to Miami or Florida somewhere, and you'll see crocodiles, those American crocodiles are pretty docile. You can go right up to them, pretty much, and they don't care. Nile crocodiles are not nice, and they attack much more. They're dangerous. And the Sfarno seems to understand. It sounds to me like he's saying they were created special for Makas Tzvardeya, but regardless, because he says that this is the way Hashem showed that this is not Kishuv, because this lasts, it wasn't temporary. These crocodiles went back into the Yaor. I don't know if they were called from other places or exactly what, but they stayed in the Yaor. They didn't just disappear. So that means it's Hashem running it, because the crocodiles are permanently in Mitzrayim. It sounds like there is some chiddush in the Yaor that they can handle crocodiles that Hashem made. But whatever it is, he describes what seems to be a crocodile. He's not the only Rishon to say that. Others say that as well, that these were, the Tzvardeyas were crocodiles. Now, when it comes to Kenim, we don't find Hashem warns Paro that Kenim are coming. So the Sfarno's understanding of that is this. There's the Tzach Adash Ba'achav, and for the first two of Ditzach, and the first two of Adash, and the first two of Be'ah, Hashem warns them, and then the third one, he just does it. And Makas Bechoros, he was warned, because that was an actual punishment. Why 2.3? I mean, he quotes a pasuk here that whatever it is, that Hashem warns a person twice, and not the third time not. Okay, anyway, then there was Arov, and Arov went everywhere, and the Sfarno says it even went in their houses, because there were all kinds of horrible, like snakes, scorpions, whatever, things that could crawl out of the ground that came out during Arov in their houses, too. That's the pasuk in Yedzayin, Megam HaAdama Asher Heimaleha. So it was in their house coming out from the ground. Okay, then we have in Makas Barad, a very interesting Sfarno. It's in Perek Tes, it's pasuk Yud Tes, Chaf Aleph. In the Makkah of Barad, so Hashem tells Moshe to tell Paro that they should You go make sure that they get in all their cattle into the house, and so any humans and animals that are left outside will die. So what's surprising about this, even though the Sfarta doesn't quite ask it like that, is who are we trying to save over here? Hashem says, bring in your cattle, because, I don't know if it says because, but then it says, any Adam and Behemoth that's left outside will die. So there's no actual pasuk that says, tell everybody to not be outside or they'll die, humans. Bays, also bring in your animals, because your animals will die. Doesn't say that. It says that there will be barad, that will be really bad, and you should go bring in your cattle, and then any adam and behema that are found in the field will be dead. Anyway, the way this farmer explains what happened here is, it seems it should be, even though he doesn't say this part, it seems it should be obvious that humans should not be outside. It sounds like it. But there are always cattle outside, and they're the humans that watch the cattle. So Hashem didn't care about the cattle of the Haraya. There was a thing called Makas Dever. The cattle were supposed to be dead anyway, just some survived. Why did they survive? Different explanations, but a lot of the cattle were dead. It wasn't to save the cattle that Hashem was telling it. It was to save the humans. There were humans out there watching the cattle. And the Sfarno says, Chaviv Adam Shenivir B'Tzelem. A person is Choshev, even the Egyptian out there watching the cattle. So Hashem was telling him, tell everybody, bring in your cattle this way, because the Sfarno is always trying to connect why one line is next to the next line, to next to the next line. So bring in your cattle this way, the Adam and the Behemoth will be saved. And it's really not to the Behemoth. It's really we're trying to save the Adam who's watching the Behemoth. So bring them in so that the person will be saved. And then get this. The next pasuk that says, Hayari Estvar Hashem Heinis Esav Adav. I'm sorry. So someone who feared Hashem of the Avdei Paro left their Avadav. I'm sorry, brought in their Avadim and Mikneo El Abatim, and who didn't, died. So, don't say died. Whoever was left outside was left outside. The Pashut, of course, way of reading this is that during Makas Barad. During Makas Barad, the ones who were Yari Es Hashem brought in their Avadim and Mikneh, and those who weren't, didn't. The Sfarno says, no, this is an ongoing discussion. This is still talking. In other words, Hashem is telling Moshe to tell Paro, bring in the cattle, which will bring in, and the people that are with the cattle. Because in the past, by Makas Dever, the Yerei Tzvar Hashem Yavdei Paro brought in their stuff. Oh, wait, where did that come from? If you look back in Rashi by Shchin, when it says that the Shchin was by everybody, even the cattle, and Rashi says, well, wait, what cattle? Didn't they all die in Dever? And Rashi says there, no, only the ones, the Pasuk by Dever says that the animals that would die would be the ones in the field. So the Gzera was only on the ones in the field. It sounds like from this far, no, they knew then that that's the way it was going to be. And therefore, I think that's what that's the Pasuk says, that Hashem told them that when he was warning them that Dever would be in all the animal Basadeh. So anyone who was Yerei Hashem at the time brought in their Avadim, in which case the humans went in with them. So that's what it's saying. It's not talking about now. It's talking about back then. Hashem was telling them now to bring in their Mikneh because last time Hashem told them that anyone in the it was going to be left out, that the Mikneh that would be left outside would die. So this time Hashem is telling him, same thing. I saw the Yerei Hashem brought in his stuff, so I'm telling you now, for those Yerei Hashem, they should bring in their cattle and their people that are outside. Okay, and then when the barad came down, it says that there was ish mislakachas besocha barad. Sfarno understands that to mean not that there was a miraculous fire inside the ice, but rather the speed and heaviness, whatever, that it came down, it really says the movement, the speed, maybe the friction, that it came down caused there to be thunder and sparks, and that's the fire we're talking about. not that there was a miraculous fire, but that it was just a natural, in that sense natural, it was coming down so fast, it caused somehow sparks. Okay, and at the very end of the parasha, we have that Hashem hardened his heart, and we know the first five makos in general, Hashem did not need to harden his heart, he hardened his own heart. But in the last five, Hashem had a heart in his heart. Sfarno's general understanding of this is that when Paro hardened his own heart, that was of course his own rishus, when Hashem hardened his heart, it is not that Hashem took away his ability to have Bechira. It's Hashem gave him Bechira. In other words, according to many other Rishonim, after the five Makos, he was done. Hashem gave him five chances to do tshuva. He hardened his own heart. Goodbye. The last five, Hashem hardened his heart. Laman, you know, to do his mofs and merits in the triumph. According to Sfarno, that's not what happened. It's Hashem gave him the first five. He hardened his own heart. He didn't need any help. And by the way, to harden his heart means the normal thing would be to give in. And he hardened his own heart to not give in. Okay, but the last five, he couldn't do it. It would have been too difficult. So Hashem hardened his heart so that he could still do tshuva. And Hashem only gave up, so to say, at the 10th. At the 10th makkah, that was an onish already. But the first nine, he still had the opportunity to do tshuva. I, Hashem, hardened his heart such that he would do tshuva. If he did tshuva, it would be tshuva for real and not because he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle the tzar. But it would have been a real tshuva. So the purpose of hardening his heart was to make him have the ability to have Bechira, not the opposite. As I said, other Rishonim disagree, but that's the Sfarno's interpretation. The hardening of his heart is the thing that gave him Bechira. Okay. Just one last thing I would add is, what did Hashem put in Paro's heart? That you don't hear from anyone that I know. The Sfarno says, he put in his heart, some belibu shelo Yosef od l'hakoso. Hashem put in Paro's heart, nah, he's not going to do anything after this. That was That's how he hardened his heart, by making him think that nothing's going to happen afterwards. It's interesting.